This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Spring training coverage brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer, Twin Peaks, and Jellyfish Lighting. You can also check out the webcam, 105.3thefan.com/springtraining. The webcam brought to you by Twin Peaks. You can see that I just ate an entire bell pepper, and Mike just ate a salad.
Frightening.
What'd you do? How was that salad, Mike?
It's all right. That's really interesting. I don't know if I've ever seen somebody eat a bell pepper like it's an apple.
Yeah.
I've seen my son do that.
Bell peppers in that way. They're just easy to eat that way. And I didn't have anything else I could just transport with me up here. So I've run out of stuff to just vegetables to transport. 877-881-1053. What is your most pressing question for this Texas Rangers team? And from the 940, third day to try and ask this question.
Oh,
Let's skip it over. Let's skip over.
Okay. All right. Next question.
No, what? Come on.
What?
Help him out.
No, make him go for four.
Yeah.
What if he's here next week? What can Young, the Texas Tech kid, do to make the major league roster at some point this year?
Okay. So, first of all, if you want, since you had to wait to get it answered, maybe we can just ask him that directly tomorrow.
Yeah, we should have waited till tomorrow.
Because we're going to have him on the show, so maybe we can ask him that directly tomorrow. My initial thought, Basic, like, obviously I want your insight, is my initial thought is nothing. Like, that's probably not going to happen.
No, but if you want, like, something he could do, let me just try to go to Ronald Acuna Jr. If he wants to get to double-A like Ronald Acuna Jr. did and bat 326 in 57 games and have 9 home runs and 30 RBIs and just pretty much do something like that.
Okay, then maybe.
Then maybe we're talking about him
at
some point. I don't think so, too, because here's the other deal. You want to manipulate his time. I hate saying that because I think it's a horse – S thing to do.
Chris Bryant
But
style?
It is the right thing to do as an organization.
Whoa.
And so for Josh Young, if you call him up, let's just say in August or September, and he gets 2 months, well, then now the next year, you're like, man, what if he struggled in the major leagues? Now you're like, well, let's try to manipulate it by having him not come up until the All-Star break next year, no matter what he does. So I think the Rangers' plan is he will be a starting third baseman in either high A or double A this year. Next year, he'll come to big league camp. He's not even in big league spring training this year, so they're not even seeing him
play.
Yeah,
that's why I was kind of surprised we even got to talk. We were even getting to talk to him.
Yeah, but I do want to talk to him because I do think he's a major part of the Rangers' future. At the same time, I don't think you're going to see him till probably midway through the 2021 season.
I was about to ask you that. Do you think he could – and I heard what you just said, but do you think he could get on a trajectory hot enough to make you think he could win the job next spring?
Yes, but we're talking about look up Gavin Lux with the L.A. Dodgers organization. Look up what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. did in the minor leagues. Look up what Ronald Acuna Jr. did. If you want it to be that quick, and those guys were – younger guys, those were high school draft picks or guys obviously out of Latin America that were taken at a teenage age to sign pro, is you need to bat well over 300, pop a lot of homers, just driving in runs. We're like, hey, these levels, he's just far and above these levels, and it's time to get him to the major leagues. And we'll see, this will be the first time that you get to see his numbers in a full season in the minor leagues.
From the 817, will the Rangers learn how to steal signs this year so we can win a ship? I mean, we tried. We've got the video out there right now, 1053thefan.com. We tried to give them the insight with their giant trash cans. Although Chris Woodward said yesterday that was more probably just a product of putting trash in. as opposed to a cheating.
Even though they are beautiful trash cans, they are Texas Ranger logoed and they're red and everything.
I don't know if you noticed, there's only one remaining right now.
What do you? I wonder this. This is my question to you guys. What do you think the next thing is in baseball where you're going to cheat to try to win? Like, it was steroids, and that was individual by players, even though they were kind of like, hey, you know, like, we need you to put on 20 pounds of muscle this offseason. So they couldn't tell you to do steroids, but they kind of were like, if you'd like to do steroids, it might really help our team out a lot. And so
I have a bold answer
okay,
for that.
So what is it going to be now?
You're going to attach a mini camera to the catcher's gear so you can see all of the signs that he's calling and quickly just discover, so you don't need the trash can. You'll just know exactly the pitches that are coming every time via hidden camera.
Okay.
So I don't that's the next thing I think is going
to happen. I don't think
happen.
That's going to happen, but I appreciate you trying, Kevin.
I wanted to legitimately answer this.
I did have a question, though, about Young still. I'm sorry to go back to this, but who by the time they're done – or maybe by the time we get done with him, who will have a better career, him or Joey Gallo for the Rangers?
Interesting. You know, Joey, I have to check his service time. He has 3 years left till he's a free agent. It might be four, which would be great to have him one more year.
I don't think it's four more.
Okay, so for – they're so you're hoping they're so different because I did watch Josh Young play at Texas Tech, and he has probably a higher contact rate, I would assume, when he gets playing professional baseball. So Joey Gallo has 3 years left with the Texas Rangers till you have to pay him a lot of money. Gallo was a high school pick. Young was a college pick. I am going to say in their 6 years with the Rangers that you have control over them, that Josh Young will have a better 6 years than Joey Gallo's 6 years with the Texas Rangers. And then I'm hoping Joey plays another 4, 5, 6 years, that he gets a contract, and he's playing so well that he is batting third for the Rangers for the next 7 or 8 years. But I will say when Josh Young is ready, that Josh Young will have a better 6 years than Joey Gallo.
So that's kind of what the promise of the future is. I'm trying to get the Rangers fan base to see is they have one, at least one guy that has potential to be a star later.
Remember, the first 2 years of Joey Gallo have not gone too well.
Nope.
Last year was really good for a short amount of time. So that's what I'm basing it on. Not that I'm basing it on Joey Gallo is not good or going to be good. Just basing it on I think Josh Young will be more ready to play at the major league level than Joey Gallo was.
Kevin, this question is, I think, to you. Could Josh Young be benefiting in our minds from having a name combination of Michael Young and Josh Hamilton?
100%.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Dare I say he'll be as good as those two combined.
Except it's really weird the way he spells his last name.
With a J?
That it's pronounced Young.
Yeah, that is kind of strange. For the 254, do you have, and by the way, we are asking, what is your top Ranger spring training question? We've been doing that all week at noon o'clock. From the 254, do you have faith in Jose LeClerc this year? It's really interesting to see the lack of attention to Jose LeClerc in the clubhouse as opposed to last year. And
he just signed that contract too in spring training.
And he's just kind of sitting around he's just one of the also-rans trying to make the bullpen.
You know, it's one of these things. Can you grow into a closer's role? A lot of times when you come up to the major leagues, they don't want to immediately put you in a closer role, but they see all of these signs that you're going to be. And for the Rangers, they saw a lot of great signs in 2018 that didn't lead to, I would say, not only just success out there on the field, but mentally you could tell at times the game was getting to him. That ninth inning of closing the game was getting to him. I think he's probably, for his career, going to be better suited as a seventh, eighth inning guy than a closer. I even think the Rangers, before the Corey Kluber trade came up, might have seen Clase A as their future closer, but because
you couldn't pass it up,
you needed to trade him to get Corey Kluber, that took that out of there. I'm worried about it. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be concerned early on because I don't know if we're going to score a lot of runs, which means there's going to be a lot of opportunities to close games. When the Rangers are winning, it might be early on in the season. It might be a lot of 3-2 type of situations, which means there's a lot of pressure of, hey, if you've lost your command to start off this inning and you walk two out of the first three guys, that might be the loss that we can't overcome because we're not then all of a sudden going to score a lot more runs or have scores that are 8-5 a lot of early in the season, because right now I'm concerned about the offense, which does put more pressure on your closer to close out those wins that you have.
From the 469, I have a question for Mike. Maybe you've answered it before. How do you think the indoor out aspect of the stadium will help Rangers pitchers?
Yeah.
And so, and from the effects of the heat, so we've been talking a bunch with guys in the clubhouse. With the opportunity, Taylor Hearn kind of talked us through this a little bit, and he'll be on the show tomorrow. But it sounds like that has an astonishing impact on a pitcher.
Especially in July and August. So in July and August, there are times where guys will take an IV before the game just to make sure that they're hydrated for the game. So okay. The catcher will do the same thing in Texas, and now they don't have to do that anymore. So if you want to know the impact, it's not every player, it's not every pitcher, every catcher, but there have been times I've talked to Pudge Rodriguez about it, sometimes in between innings when he knew he wasn't coming up, so he ended up making the last out, or he was the next to last out, so he knows he's not coming up to bat the next inning. He said that he would go below the dugout and just get an IV right then just to take one for 5 minutes, because of just the loss of water that you are having playing in July and August in Texas. So, yeah, it'll have an impact. I did feel like there was a little bit of home field advantage in that if you were playing in it.
I could see that.
That the other teams coming in.
It already.
When I was on the Mets, and it was June when we came in, mid-June, and I was so excited because I'm coming to my hometown team and getting to stay in my own home for 3 days. But, man, the complaints you hear on the other side about playing in Texas that now you're not going to have. And sometimes it wasn't – like mid-June, it's hot. But it's not super hot. Like July, I was like, guys, if you think it's hot now, if we came back here in a month,
yeah,
that it would be really miserable. Now, it is miserable for the Rangers too, but maybe you don't hear as many complaints because they're like, yeah, we have to play here a lot. So maybe there's a little bit of that home field advantage – taken away, but hopefully everything.
Who is the Angels? Who is the Angels pitcher? Was it Weaver that just hated pitching?
Jared Weaver. Yeah. He looked like a meth addict out there.
His lips were always chapped. He just hated pitching in Texas when it was
CeCe
hot.
CeCe had to stay here one time
because he was so sick.
So dehydrated after the game. Now he also at that time in his life was having alcohol issues.
Okay.
So it kind of both things, weight issue, alcohol issue, and then pitching in the heat issue, all led him after the game to not fly home with New York and go to the hospital to make sure that he got rehydrated.
Let's quick hit a few of these before we have to get out from the 972. Right. Will Lance Lynn become an ace? I mean, based off of yesterday, it doesn't look good. But
he got hit hard yesterday.
I would argue – best case scenario, you get the same thing from Lynn and Minor this year as last year.
Yeah, and that's a good starting pitcher, and that's what we're really hoping, right, Corey, is that we get a repeat because nobody saw Lance Lynn bouncing back and having that year. If he would have, people would have been more interested with him in free agency.
From the 903, how long before JD gets fired? Oh. We get this question all the time.
That's a good question, honestly. It's not a bad question with how the team has performed the last few years. Is I believe that JD has 2 years to turn this around. And maybe that's too long for Ranger fans. And I'm not going to say you're wrong about that, but I do believe that the owners believe in John Daniels and that John Daniels has this season and next season. And in 2022 – if that's another bad season, a well below 500 season, then I do think it is over. But a few years ago, it was kind of sold as we have prospects. They're just not in AA and AAA and ready to help in 2019 and maybe not even in 2020. But I'm telling you, in 2021, it's all going to come together. So it's kind of been sold as everything's going to come together with the youth and everything in 2021. We thought that they would spend in 2020 to help out the team now. They didn't. So I would say if this year's a below 500 season and in 2021 it is a below 500 season, then I think at that point they'll be discussing should we move into another direction with the leadership of the Texas Rangers.
Oh, you mean the new owners?
and that could be. It honestly could be new ownership too. And then – who knows where John Daniels stands if it would be a new owner in 2022.
From the 469, what's the latest on Matt Busch? So Matt Busch, about halfway through the season last year, they announced he was going to have Tommy John. So that's a non-starter
he's not here.
In 2020. Yeah,
at least I didn't see him.
No, I haven't seen him around, and he's not on the –
I haven't seen him in the clubhouse, guys.
And he's not listed at all, so – breaking news from Corey right there.
Yep.
He's not on the list. Also, do you think the food at the stadium is going to be good?
Yes.
Yep. and really cheap, I bet.
Because they got Pluckers, man.
Bahama
Everybody
Bucks.
Everybody here knows how much we love Pluckers and Bahama Bucks.
I'm
absolutely.
So excited for that.
They still got the boomstick?
Are those snow cones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's like next level snow cone, man.
Yeah.
It's like
extra ice?
Yeah, it's like analytic snow cones. Oh. No, it's extra flavor. Who wants more ice
it's
in
like
a snow
cone? It's
like
gourmet snow cones.
Yeah. Yeah. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3.
Savory snow cones?
Yes, exactly.
Like, this one tastes like
hey, will you guys let Kevin
chicken
tease?
Fried steak.
Yeah. Thank you, Shippy.
I'm trying to stay on time
for being
here.
The most responsible here on
I'm
the show.
I'm a freaking producer.
Just coming remember.
Coming up next. No, you can remember off air. Coming up next, Mike McCarthy classifies three levels of NFL players. How many great ones do the Cowboys have? Autoflex Leasing Fantex, 877-881-1053. How many and who are they? We'll discuss next on The Fan.
Don't forget, we have the Luchi Gonzalez show coming up at 1:30 today. We'll talk with him about their matchup against Montreal this weekend, Kevin. And we will also have Jesse Chavez on the show. We did a little interview with him earlier this morning. We'll catch up with him because that dude right there may be one of the most understated humorous people on the team.
Yeah,
like there are a lot of people that have a very outgoing personality and they're really funny and really boisterous. He's not, but everything he throws is low key, and it's really fun to have a good conversation with that guy. I also have a list of trade candidates in the NFL that we're going to get to in just a moment. But Kevin and Mike, I saw Kevin Gray, who does the weekend shows here at 105.3 The Fan. By the way,
spring training?
No, I saw him on Twitter. He's on Twitter. And I know he caught up with Dez, and that's a really cool interview. But he posted this audio from Mike McCarthy on how Mike McCarthy classifies players in the NFL. And this is I just thought this was a really interesting thought on what Mike McCarthy sees players being.
Like, I have a hard time when people question the level of a professional football player, because they're all good players, every single one of them. You don't get into the room. You're not part of a 90-man roster being a guy. I mean, it's ignorant. It's a wrong way to look at it. Some players are better than others, but in my view, and this is how I speak to them, you have good players. You have good players that have great moments, and you have great players. To me, I'd classify the NFL player in those three categories. So. And the difference between a good player that has great moments and a great player is great players make people around them better all the time.
So I wanted to try to see if you guys could help me figure out which guys classify at the moment for this Cowboys team as good with great moments, and great. Because I love Jordan Lewis, right? But I don't know if he's a great player or a good player with great moments.
He's not a great player.
No.
There's no chance. We might only have one great player by that definition.
All right. That scares me. 877-881-1053. Let's take a look at the Cowboys roster. Who are the great players?
Zach Martin.
That's it?
I mean, if you go off of that definition and they make the people around them better, what other players on this team make
for his career? I think Tyron Smith.
Yeah, but do you still think that now?
I'm really worried about his back and his body, and that's why I want to trade him.
And that's the thing. I'm saying now. You're right. Tyron Smith has been freaking awesome.
Yeah.
No, we're talking about this year.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, and this is I'm not arguing with you. I'm just going to bring up other names.
That's fine.
There are moments that Amari Cooper is great, but then the next game he is as bad as you can be.
And that's why I think he's a good player with great moments. I don't think he's a consistently great player because he doesn't show up all the time. I think to be great, you have to show up all the time. Like, J.J. Watt's not great anymore. When he's there, he's great, but he doesn't show up.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
I don't think he's great. I think he's a good player with great moments.
So great players make other people around them better.
Exactly.
Zeke.
And hold on real quick. Oh. DeMarcus Lawrence this year, no matter how good he was, he couldn't make his defensive line better. I don't know why. because the defensive line was not good enough, despite he played like a beast.
Yeah.
Without the sacks, and Kevin's argument is you can't fight against it because he's right, but without the sacks this year, he was still a really good defensive lineman, but the rest of the defensive line didn't benefit from it, and they didn't help him either. So nobody across that defensive line, I think, made anybody better this year, even if Robert Quinn was really good.
Yeah, I was just going to throw out the other side of it. Do you think DeMarcus Lawrence had anything to do with Robert Quinn's success?
To a certain extent, sure. I would agree with that. That I think that might be the most compelling argument for him being great, but I don't think he had the greatness to back it up.
Yeah.
You know, like, he might have made Robert Quinn better, but he didn't back it up with his own level of greatness that I also think is necessary.
Well, I know if we had Michael Irvin on right now, he would say Ezekiel Elliott is great.
I disagree. I do.
I don't think Zeke showed up until late in the season.
And who does he make
physically
better?
Usually he makes Dak better.
Okay.
But
that's fair.
But
that's fair.
I don't think he showed up as the physical running back that he was until maybe the Rams game.
Yeah.
After the Bills game, that's when he finally showed up.
I think what I was disappointed most with Ezekiel Elliott this year, and kind of a little bit the year before, is when you watch a guy like Derrick Henry. I don't know why I always want to say Travis Henry. But when you watch a guy like Derrick Henry, Derrick Henry gets the same hole Ezekiel Elliott gets. Bam. They're there. 5 to 10 yards because the hole was there. And I get it. Like, to Kavanaugh's point, if the hole's not there, running backs are worthless for the most part. Is then Derrick Henry can then make a dude miss and then outrun everybody for a 60, 70-yard touchdown. This year, for the most part, Zeke got better at it as the season progressed, like you were talking about, Corey. But for the most part, you create a hole. He gets the 5 to 7 yards, and then who's ever there, he can't avoid that person, and he might drag that person for an extra 3 or 4 yards. But, man, I really – for Zeke and what he wanted, and he got it. He sat out, and he wanted the biggest contract in NFL history for a running back, and he got it. But that means if our offensive line gives you an opportunity, you got to be Emmett Smith. You got to be – a guy that you're playing against right now. You got to be Derrick Henry. You got to be Saquon Barkley. If we give you an opportunity to make a huge game-changing play, it can't just be a first down. At your salary, it can't just be a first down.
He's got to be a home run hitter.
And
even if Emmitt Smith was occasionally a home run hitter, right? Like, Emmitt Smith, he'd constantly plowed for yards, but that was – a different style of football then.
Yeah,
at the time.
I mean, there's plenty of highlights where Emmett, who wasn't considered nearly as fast as Zeke, found a way to make it a 60-yard run for a touchdown.
The what about Travis Frederick?
Not anymore, unfortunately. It stinks because I would say yes, but unfortunately always forget how to say
is
the
he
disease.
Good or good with great moments?
From what I hear from Broadus is he was an average player this season. Can he get better than average after missing a season and coming back? We'll find out.
Lyle, all three of us were pretty high on him yesterday.
I think he was great.
That is an interesting one that I hadn't really considered, because he might have helped elevate some of the people around him. I might still say good with great moments, but the good thing I like about that is, unlike Tyron, who you would think is like good with great moments maybe on the downslope, maybe Lyle is good with great moments on the upswing. Here, interesting note, because I think DeMarcus Lawrence is at his core a better player than Robert Quinn, but this is just an interesting note for you. People are acting like Robert Quinn has never been good. Since DeMarcus Lawrence came into the league in 2014, he's had 2 seasons with more than 8 sacks. Robert Quinn has had 3. So I don't like the idea that Robert Quinn has never been any good at football
until he paired with
DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah,
I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, he also had Aaron Donald by his side. You know, like, he's had some really good defensive lines that he's worked with. All right, here's this is going to be the toughest part. Michael Gallup, potential great?
Good, yes. He's the skill position version of Lyle Collins.
His arrow's still pointing
and
up.
And he's good with great moments. So if you told me next year, Zach Martin, Lyle Collins, and Tim Gallup are all in the mix. I'd listen to that.
Tim Collins. All right, though. Dak.
He's good with great moments.
He had some great moments during the, I mean, the playoff run against, game against Seattle. He had some great moments.
What's weird from him is I felt like he regressed as the season went along. He played at an MVP caliber 8 weeks into the season, maybe even you could say 10 weeks into the season. And he just, for some reason, couldn't keep up that standard. Now, was it Amari Cooper dropping off tremendously for him that really hurt him? I don't know what it exactly was, but his season overall was good. If you just look at numbers and that's all you want to do, you can argue at me all the time, and you're going to win if you just want to look at numbers and you don't want to go back and watch those games and watch when he had the ball, when the drives were there, what happened here. I get it. If you just want to look at numbers, you're going to win the argument against me. But watching the games from around Thanksgiving on, he was not the same player he was those first 8 or 9 games of the season.
All right. I think Dak can be great. He's good right now.
You think he can be consistently great?
Yes. Here's my other one.
You say it like that, though.
Here's why. Do you think that Jason Garrett is a good with great moments or great coach?
Jason Garrett?
Yes.
None of those.
At best, he's average.
I think he's a subpar.
You never thought he had great moments?
No. I mean, like, I'm sure every somebody has.
Yeah, he had 10 years. If you want to say out of 10 times, out of 160 games, yeah, there's going to be a few games.
But other than that, I think he's subpar.
All right. What do you think of McCarthy?
He's good with.
He's won a Super Bowl.
Great moment. They perpetually choked in the playoffs.
No, not every team wins all the time in the playoffs.
Yeah, I hate that argument though. When you have the best team 3 times and you don't win any of those times, that's concerning.
Okay, so you think he's good with a great moment?
Yes,
I think that he's a great coach, and I think that that's going to be the difference for Dak this year and in the future of Dak's career. I think Dak can be great with the right coach to teach him the right things to see, the right things to watch for, and the right things to do. He's been good at it throughout his entire career. And I know people are like, yeah, but it's Aaron Rodgers. Okay, that's great. But he also had some other guys that he's worked with in his career, too, that have been successful.
And, I mean, you know how I feel about that. I think Aaron Rodgers is overrated. He also, look, I'm not only blaming Mike McCarthy. Aaron Rodgers, it's a good thing he won that Super Bowl as a wild card team, or else he would be viewed as the biggest playoff choker of all time, including that 15-1 season where there was no stopping them from winning the Super Bowl, and they didn't make it, all right? So, look, I'm encouraged by the fact that he's won a Super Bowl. I think the frustrating part that people have around here is we've taken all types of coaches. We've taken a college coach who, you know, had won a Super Bowl in Barry Switzer, and then from there, we took another college coach, couldn't get it done. We took a guy who was super Cowboys fan, never been a bigger Cowboys lover in their life. He couldn't get it done. We took somebody who had won multiple Super Bowls. He couldn't get it done. We took somebody who then went on to win a Super Bowl as a coordinator with another organization. He couldn't get it done. Then we had the second longest tenured coach in the history of the franchise behind Ole Landry. He couldn't get it done. We have tried so many different options here, and they all fail. And that's what I think is frustrating to people and why they're hesitant to buy in on McCarthy. It has nothing to do with McCarthy. I don't think people are just anti-Mike McCarthy in general.
Well,
I think I'm not. Not at all. Look, you know I love the big fat person who can do big fat things. All right? I'm a big proponent of that. He won a damn Super Bowl on our home field. I love that.
That fat kid's got a great arm.
I don't think that's why people are hesitant to embrace Mike McCarthy at all.
I did have this question, though, Kevin. Mike's been talking all week about wanting to do the lawn maintenance out here at Surprise Stadium.
We were on the field this morning.
Yeah, we were on the field.
I don't know if we should announce
it. I told Mike earlier I would hate to be the guy that does the chalk lines on the box or down the foul lines, because I would screw it up.
They're so good at keeping those straight.
Yeah, they're really nice straight lines. I could never do it. Back to you, Kevin.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now all I want to see in the world is Corey just freehanding these logos out here. That is absolutely what I want to happen. Coming up next, oh my gosh, I do believe it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick from the Mecca, the spring training.
Are we going to talk about doing the lines on the field?
I don't think you should talk about doing lines on the field.
Oh, okay.
How about this? Christian Yelich, does he not know he's really good at baseball?
He doesn't! Next on The Fan.
We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Is the spring training coverage in surprise as they are getting the game or the field ready right now for some baseballing action against Arizona today. Mike Bassick, let's let Mike
Told
take
ya.
It away.
Dang it.
With...
I was wrong.
Baseball
Told
Nuggets
ya.
Featuring Mike Bassick.
Well, it's split squad today, and I saw the Cubs on the board, and I thought, yeah, the Cubs are coming here, which is always great because you
nope.
get a huge amount of fans follow the Chicago Cubs here in spring training, but the Rangers are sending a team to play the Cubs, and we are playing the Arizona Diamondbacks in their home area, but they don't travel well in spring training,
yeah.
so it's not going to be the same. In fact, we will hear pretty much it will be more of an Arizona crowd, though, because there'll be more people here cheering for them. So let's go to Christian Yelich. He hasn't signed it yet, but the almost 28-year-old, he'll be 28 this year at some point. I guess he just turned 28 this offseason. He's going to sign a 7-year extension for a little over $200 million?
No, it's $188. The $200 factors in the remaining 2 years of his contract.
What?
So that's like $27 million a year for what we would all agree is a top five, six player in the league?
Three, maybe?
He would have won the MVP most likely last year if he wouldn't have broke his leg on the ball where he hit off his leg, broke his leg. So he only played in 130
games. He hit a baseball so hard it broke his leg.
So he could be the reigning, defending, back-to-back MVP that's not even 28. And he's like, I'll take a pay cut.
Yeah, so he last year led the National League in batting average, on base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS, OPS plus. Those were the things that
Jeez.
He led the National League in. And he would have possibly led the National League in other things if he would have been able to finish the season because I believe he was – well, I know it was Pete Alonso had, I think it was 8 or 9 more home runs, runs than Yelich. But what I don't understand here is Yelich must really love Milwaukee. But you just saw Anthony Rendon get a 7-year contract for $245 million. You just saw Steven Strasburg as a pitcher get $245 million. Heck, Gerrit Cole got over $300 million. I just expected when it
and
was
those
time.
Those first two aren't better than Yelich.
Yeah, I was just thinking when Yelich, it's time at least 7 for $245 million. And I heard, oh, contract extension. Okay, well, it'll probably be over what Anthony Rendon got. Because he's been better than Anthony Rendon the last 2 years. But no, he's going way below. In fact, I've seen people on Twitter who are big Red Sox fans. Like, why couldn't Mookie Betts do this for us? Because Mookie's like, no, like, I mean, if we're not talking $400 million, we're not talking me signing a contract extension. We're talking free agency. And because of that, the Red Sox felt like, okay, we need to move on and we need to trade Mookie Betts, who is with the LA Dodgers. I'm just surprised that Christian Yelich would sign for this amount. And I get it. Like, he probably really likes Milwaukee. Milwaukee's not a city, a team that has tons of money to compete with a Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox type payroll. But I feel like you're signing for approximately 50 to 100 million less than your market value.
It is remarkable. When we were talking about this and we were like, what's the average value?
Yeah.
It's just a touch
and
under 27.
From everything I see, Kevin, it's not 100% he has signed that deal. He's being quiet about it in spring training.
Oh.
So it might be a little bit more to maybe it is 205, maybe it is 189, but we're kind of getting it might be right around $200 million, but 7 years, $200 million, wherever it's close to that number, is a really bargain deal.
For a great,
you're getting,
great player.
You're getting 5 to $10 million off per year on what his market value is.
Is there any two-player combination on the Rangers that you wouldn't trade for Christian Yelich?
No.
Three?
So Gallo, Calhoun, Mike Minor, would that be the best three?
I would do that.
I mean, just would you, Corey? Could you think of any three on the Rangers that you're like, nah? I mean, so Gallo, Calhoun, Minor would be my best three combination.
Yeah, and I would probably trade all of them.
Yes,
especially I'm getting him on this
year.
I don't know what Kluber is this year, but
yeah,
I mean, if
one.
Kluber is him, then I would probably be like, all right. I mean, I'd love to have Kluber and Yelich if they're both.
But
playing
like,
top
you
level.
See the insanity of that concept, right? There's maybe no three players you wouldn't trade for this guy, and he's like, you know what I'm going to do? Take less.
I don't understand that. Well, I don't understand why he would do that, other than I just want to be paid
because he wants to be a god in Wisconsin.
Okay, from the
he was in the NBA All-Star Dunk Competition
from the 214 baseball. Baseball is dead, my butt. These big contracts are proof that baseball isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, the only thing I always am concerned about with baseball is the average age of their audience member.
Yeah.
You know, it's significantly older than football or NBA.
Yeah, I would just say the interesting thing is they're making they made almost $11 billion last year in baseball. And it's not even marketed well. Like, I agree with when whether it's Sean, whether it's Kevin, whether it's whoever, of like, man, baseball just – I don't know how it's successful, and it is, and I'm just thinking, what if they really were successful? What if they were able to get the microphones on guys? What if they were able to get really big companies to pay really big money for these players to be faces of their brand? And I know that, look, if you go to Oakley, they'll have people with Aaron Judge will be Oakley, and I know there are guys with contracts with companies, but – man, if it was ever marketed well, this could be a big-time situation because it's not even marketed well, and it makes more money than the NBA.
I don't want to make it sound like there's not numerous elite players in Major League Baseball, because obviously there are. I go back to this particular person time and again. How Mike Trout isn't one of the five best-known athletes in the country astonishes me.
Yeah.
Like, if I told you, where does, of all, you just go up to random people who aren't even like gigantic sports fans, where does Mike Trout fit in the hierarchy? Like 25, 40?
Yeah, maybe.
He's not high. So that's astonishing to me. That's an indictment on baseball.
So if Yelich signs this contract and he gets approximately $27 million per year, as it's being reported, that makes him the 16th highest paid player in baseball. And through those 7 years, we'd probably be looking at, by the time we get to year six or year seven, we're probably looking like he's out of the top 30 in paid players. And who, you know, it's going to be tough for him to be good at 35 years old. Like everybody, it's tough to keep the standard that you have at 26, 27 years old. But you're signing him this contract for Milwaukee. You're going to have him in his prime, too. Like these are going to be prime years. Maybe the last 2 years of the contract, you could say, hey, at 34, 35 years old, we might not get the same guy we're getting for the 5 years of this contract. But great job by the Brewers Christian Yelich to sign a contract where he might make less than $30 million a year. Now, there's an article from MLB.com of the 30 players turning heads in spring training.
Okay.
So it is every team gets one player. And I wanted to bring this up because I haven't heard much about him this spring training, but they list Jonathan Hernandez as the guy turning heads here in spring training from MLB.com. It says the situation, the Rangers intended to stretch Hernandez out as a starter, but he's also looking like a viable candidate for the bullpen. He's already racked up 6 strikeouts in his 4 spring innings. Here is what they are saying. Edison Volquez, who is in spring training, and you guys asked me on Monday, why does Edison Volquez have a locker? And I said, well, they signed him to pitch again and see if he could possibly make the team. I will say, when they're getting quotes from veteran pitcher Edison Volquez, I do believe Edison Volquez, who won't make the team, will become part of the organization as either a coach or a – the way possibly that Darren Oliver is in the organization, like he moves into a situation like that, but dealing more with maybe the Latin players. But he says he's more mature now. He is taking everything more easily than last year. He has a better idea of what he is trying to do. Last year for him, everything was fast. Now he's settled down. Last year, he had a taste of the big leagues, and it goes on. But it just says that maybe Jonathan Hernandez, a guy that we're not talking about or thinking about at all, maybe he will be a really nice surprise for the Texas Rangers
this year. He's only 23.
Kevin was trying to get rid of him last year. So,
what?
Yeah, the whole year.
That does not sound right.
By the way, they finished the lines.
It's perfect.
And I wanted to stand up and applaud when he finished because that was pretty amazing.
Well, Corey, you really like bringing down the Ranger fan every day. This is my third week on the show, and you really like making them feel bad and mad and sad every day. Would you like to bring up what happened in 2015 to the Texas Rangers?
I'm not quite certain what you're talking about.
Okay, well, you're going to make me have to do it. It was the big home run from Jose Bautista that ended our season.
Oh, so. I don't like talking about that.
Okay. Well,
too soon, Mike.
I'll tell you what.
Too soon.
Knuckles on that. Knuckles on that one.
Sometimes out of nowhere, Corey outsmarts you, and you're just like, hold on, what just happened?
Jose Bautista, at 39 years old, who has been out of baseball, is trying to come back as the dual threat. He wants to now be Shohei Ohtani,
awesome.
Which is really weird because – you're out of baseball because you couldn't hit anymore. So he's like, you know what I'm going to do at 39? I'm going to come back as a pitcher. Which to me, it's a funny story just because you're done. It's okay to be done. I know that you can keep trying. And there's nothing like keep trying. If you're trying to come back in your sport, I won't even say the person's name, keep trying. I have nothing against it. It can maybe turn out to be a great story. Same with Jose Bautista. But it's really weird that he's 39 years old. He's going to play for the Dominican Republic Olympic qualifying team.
Oh.
But he's not going to pitch there.
Oh.
I'm like, you're 39. You don't have a lot of time left to just develop your game of pitching. Usually guys are done at pitching at 35, 36.
Right.
You're 39. I get that you had a great arm in the outfield, and he did. He had a cannon of an arm. But at what point are you going to pitch against competition for us to know if you can actually do it? Most guys have to pitch like 2 or 3 years in the minor leagues when they want to make the switch. When guys aren't good enough to make it at a major league level as a position player, they're like, hey, but you have a great arm. Let's go down to A-ball and let's see what you can do. And if you do well, we brought up Matt Bush earlier.
Yep.
Right? I mean, unfortunately, Matt Bush's story is a really tough story on how he didn't make it as a shortstop. But he had a great arm. So he ended up making it as a pitcher at a younger age with a better arm than Jose Bautista, and he had to do some minor leagues. I'm confused here on Jose Bautista's thinking that he can just at 39 years old hook on to an organization, and now what? Like, we don't have a lot of time to develop you. You're 39 years old. Yeah, like, what's your secondary pitch? How hard do you throw off of a mound? Let's find out for the Dominican team. No, they're not even going to do it. While they're taking – only minor league guys to play in their Olympic team because that's just the way it is during Olympic time. They don't let professionals, major leaguers, play in the Olympics for baseball. He's like, yeah, I'm not ready to do that pitching thing yet in this summer, but I'm telling all these clubs I want to be Shohei Ohtani in the major leagues for a team. Well, you can't hit like Shohei Ohtani, and I'm pretty sure you can't pitch like Shohei Ohtani, so – good
get
luck,
him,
but
Mike.
It's interesting from Jose Bautista. He wants to be a dual threat guy when he is out of Major League Baseball now because he can't hit the one thing he could do unbelievably great for about a 6 or 7 year stretch.
And you know, this could be beneficial, though, for the Rangers if you think about it, because you know Rugi can get a hit off of Jose Bautista.
Because he punched him in the face.
Yes, that is exactly true.
Makes that funny.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up
next. Does he just want to pitch so he can face the Rangers and hit Rugi Odor?
That's exactly what's going to happen. And then Rugi's going to rush the plate. It's going to be amazing. Tell me you wouldn't stop down to see that at bat.
I would.
Coming up next, Darren Woodson speaks and we listen. Plus, we talk with Jesse Chavez for the Texas Rangers. All of that next live from Surprise on 105.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.